Hello, my name is William Cueto, and welcome to Builders of Hope, a show about young Catholic professionals who are living out their faith in all aspects of their lives, their family lives, their social lives, and their careers. Growing in the spiritual life is not just for priests and nuns. It's for all of us, as you will see through the lives of our guests who are striving to live out their faith and build a better world. Throughout these past 12 weeks, you have seen the examples of these young professionals. These young professionals have shown us how they try to use their professions to improve society, and they have shown us how they attempt to balance all aspects of their lives by centering their lives around God. We saw professionals representing all different kinds of professions and from all walks of life. They shared with us their decisions, their challenges, their families and relationships, their activities and interests, their accomplishments, and their spiritual lives. We saw well-balanced, vibrant individuals with a zest for life. We saw through them the impact one's faith can have throughout one's entire life. We discussed many issues with them, and they shared their lives with us. Let's take a moment now to look at what you saw from our guests over the last 12 weeks. For example, we saw Brian Fimian, a corporate executive, speak to us about balancing life and how living one's faith is not inconsistent with being successful in business.
Well, I think it takes discipline. It's not particularly easy to do. There's a lot of activities that can take up hours of your day. And what I have found personally is that daily attendance at Mass is a critical for me. I feel as if, many years ago I went because I just felt attracted to go to Mass. I felt as if I were being invited to go on a daily basis. That was something that I took, just I was very honored by that. But in the last few years, I've kind of discovered that it's critical to my happiness. If I'm able to get to Mass every day, I'm able to remain pretty calm. I feel like I can make better decisions because I am approaching things in the light of how our Lord might want me to do something as opposed to how I might want to do it. So I think it requires discipline to live your faith and to do the things to be successful in business, but also to keep your spiritual life active. But I think they're both, they're not mutually exclusive. I believe they're both very attainable at the same time.
Mary Louise Curry, a professional opera singer, former Miss Wisconsin, and talent winner for the Miss America pageant, spoke to us about the responsibility that those in public life have to the public they reach.
They have a tremendous opportunity, of course, because they are they're in the public life. And anybody who has a public life, whether it's an entertainer, whether it's a journalist, whether it's a politician or an actor, or even like a high-profile CEO or whatever your role in life is, there are people who look to you, and you have a tremendous opportunity to make a big impact on a lot of people. And I think that's something that people think about in our culture today is, oh, well, my privately I believe this, but you know, my public life is separate. I want to make myself accessible to everybody, so I'm not going to bring my own private beliefs into my public life. It's right. Like, no, you know, we are our brother's keeper, yes, and we have a responsibility to be that conscience and to stand strong and to really make an impact with our own beliefs, because our faith is such a gift. If we're just, you know, being selfish and keeping it for our own private lives, we're not being our brother's keeper. So it's a great opportunity to make that kind of an impact on people. Use that vehicle, that public life, to make a statement about something that you're passionate about that can help people in their lives too.
We saw Dr. Carlos Moas speak to us about his role as a physician, and we also saw him and his wife Lucy talk to us about balancing work and family.
People who are terminally ill, families that deal, that have relatives in that situation, are especially vulnerable in that period of time. And that's where I think, as a physician and as a Catholic physician, I've been given this, you know, marvelous opportunity to, comfort them always, you know, be a support for those patients and for those families, even very often when there's not much to be done from a medical point of view. I don't think that my profession ends when the situation's hopeless. I really see that it's beginning, especially when those situations are hopeless, where I can hopefully bring some of that consolation, you know, that God asks us to.
It's time for kids, and there's time for work, and then there's time that we need to be together alone as well. Right. And you fall in love all over again.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's very important in a marriage, to take that time away from the work, from sometimes from social commitments. You know, they're all good things, but if out of those good things, there's a set of priorities and say, well, the first thing is my spouse. Because really, you know, between Lucy and I, there's a bond, which is a sacramental bond. Okay, there's a bond between ourselves and our children, but that's not a sacramental bond. So even in the order of things that God has put in our life, the sacrament between husband and wife is so powerful that, you know, you really need to protect it and cultivate it.
And it flows from that.
And then it flows. Right, right. This is the best thing you can do for your children is to love your spouse.
Neil Siniscalchi, a young attorney in private practice, spoke to us about the responsibility we all have with respect to the weaker members of society.
I think that we're going to be judged on how we protect our weakest members of society. And if we have the gift and the ability to do so, we should. I think it goes back to your original question about what lawyers do and what they should do. Rather than being so concerned about our selfish interests, we should be grateful and appreciative for so many good things that we have and try to help those in a worse situation than ourselves. And we can't really separate ourselves from our poorer brothers and sisters. We're all in this world together. We're all really one family. We're all creatures of God, the one Father. And if we try to separate ourselves, I think that's a lie. It's false, and we're going to have problems as a result.
Ralph DeCardenas, an engineer, provided us with an example of a group of engineers who got together to determine how best to use their combined talents to provide a volunteer service to society.
There's a Congress of engineers that are getting together to figure out, not only, you know, they're going to get together to figure out what they can do with their careers as engineers, as an apostolate work, to help people, you know, to do that thing, you know, that Jesus Christ did so well, which was, you know, help people in need, and, you know, and we're trying to do that. And so we're going to get together to find out what we can do. Engineering has many branches, and some of them are very technical. And you say, well, how can you use this very, you know, space age, technical type career to help people that are, you know, when people sometimes just need housing, or, you know, or people that just need help on the street or things like that. You know, some people need some very basic things. People just need love sometimes, or just need time, you know, to spend with them. You know, one of the biggest resources that we can give is time. But we're going to get together, and, you know, it's going to be younger engineers, older engineers. A lot of them are very close to the church, so they have this wisdom of years and years of formation. And they're going to bring this all together, and hopefully the young engineers can provide some of the energy to kind of back that up, and we can knock out a way to really help people with our careers. And that's a way to dedicate our careers, you know, to helping others.
Mary McFadden, a young high school teacher, spoke to us about the following.
The vocation is something you're called to by God, but everybody, no matter what your vocation is, whether it's to married, single, or religious life, everybody is called to holiness. And it just seems like, for me at least, maybe this is a selfish reason, but it's so great for me to go to daily mass. It's that time when I reflect. I don't actually know what I would do if I didn't go. It's hard enough to live a Catholic life in the world today, let alone without the grace of the sacraments. The grace you receive from Eucharist is so amazing and so overwhelming and just so strengthening that I don't know how I get through. Like I said, my job is challenging, and I don't know how I get through the day with the kinds of questions and problems that are brought up to me through my students. I don't know how I could really give them something if I'm not receiving something from God myself through the grace of the sacraments. So it's true. Some people, you know, at their schedules, they can't do it. But if you have the time where you have the availability, it's something that is just, to me, it's just such a wonderful gift. That it's not a burden at all. It's almost something that...
It's a way of life.
Yeah, I guess so. It's a way of life.
You saw Carlos Brito, a young student pursuing his interest in the computer field, speak to us about the value of retreats in his life and about his views on stem cell research of aborted babies.
I look at a retreat like a timeout, you know. We're all so in this rhythm of life, living, 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 living. We never stop and pause. and think, okay, Lord, and just pray. I look at retreats like in a way of, okay, this is my life. Let me pause it for a second. Leave everything in the hands of the Virgin Mary, the Lord. Go into the retreat. Just be silent, me there in God. Okay? God will just put all these things into my mind for me to think about. My life, where I'm at, where I want to be, what I'm doing. Okay? And then just come out and start living. Willie, I don't want to walk again at the expense of a baby. Taking the life of aborted babies to help people that are my age to get up and walk again, that's just something that I'm totally against and I don't agree with. I mean, how can these people do that? I mean, I don't understand.
It's a very strong statement for you to say that, you know, you'd rather stay, you know, confined to the wheelchair
for the rest of my life than walk at the expense of an aborted baby.
Dr. Sho Lam, a pediatrician, shared with us how she views her role to her patients.
Sometimes the day-to-day grind can be pretty difficult at times. But really, as physicians, I believe we're called to defend life at the moment of conception, at the end of life. And physicians have a role. I mean, you have the OB-GYN doctors right at the beginning, right when the baby's born. You have the pediatricians, internal medicine doctors, all the specialists. And now we have geriatrics, which are specialists in the area of people who are older, basically. And so we have doctors covering the whole gamut, the whole span of life. So they could play a big role in encouraging a person, not just to take their medicines just to help them get better, but to live a good life, you know, to act in such a way that they feel as if their life is being respected, not just, oh, here's another patient, sure, got 5 minutes, and that's got to run. But really, just to let them know that even when they're sick, we're there for them, that we're trying to helping them to feel better, and even if we can't cure them, which is a lot of times, we can't cure a lot of illnesses, that we can help them deal with the pain, deal with the sickness, and help the parents, or the family rather, to help them with it.
Linda White, a professional in the telecommunications field and part-time personal trainer, communicated the following to us.
I have lost some people who have been in situations where they weren't raised in an environment where the Christian faith was top priority. So for them, when you talk about God as being top priority, it's something a little bit foreign to them. Not all, but I have come across that. There's other people, when you go to high school and college, you're distracted by people of the opposite sex. You're distracted by the work that you get involved in. And this country is very materialistic, as you know. We're given a lot of opportunities, and opportunities are very good. But at the same time, a lot of people get swept underneath. They look into the opportunities, they look at the money they can make, and they continue to make that as their focus instead of God. Instead of looking at it as this is a blessing from God, and this is a chance to, sure, make money, but God's giving you the chance to take care of yourself, make money. I mean, I think in terms of, okay, God's given me an opportunity to make money, I can take care of myself, I can afford a car to go to Mass. I mean, those give you, you know, these great blessings in your life, giving you an opportunity to worship God and to be an example to others. And I think people need to try to stay focused on that. And when you come across people who have really not been raised in that environment, it's very difficult to get that across to them. So I find if you become a friend to them and show them that you care about them, because you're really a reflection of God. We're salt and light, and so we're a reflection of God. We represent Him. So I think if we can get involved in someone's life and show them that, hey, we care about them, we also like to go out and have a good time, but we're not out doing all these wrong things, they begin to see that, and they begin to see the peace in your life and want some of that.
We saw Michael McFadden speak to us about his dreams and hopes for the future.
I have a lot of hope for the world. I do have hope for the world, because I think, you know, I think it's at a turning point. I think there are more people, there are a lot of people who are realizing that there is it's kind of empty. The things that are sort of pushed on you by, you know, the entertainment industry, that's not really the way people live, and that's not the way life really is. It's all very glossy and everything, it looks real great, but it's not really the way it is, and people aren't happy living that way. I mean, I know people who, you know, they're not happy living that way. But I think that I think it's going to change just for that very reason. I mean, enough people see that people aren't happy that way, and then they see that people are happy, you know, trying to follow like Christ, then I think that will be what will change it, I think. And I think it's on an upswing.
And we saw Jeanette Stackhouse, a young professional working for the Denver Archdiocese, speak to us about a higher call in living extraordinary lives.
It's a continual choice. Is my life perfectly integrated and perfectly balanced? No. And it probably won't ever be until we all reach heaven. So I just try every day to live a more whole life, you know. What that means is to practice my faith and to live it and love it, to know it, to ask the big questions and find the answers to them.
And you had the same struggles and limitations as anybody else.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And sometimes I think we who are called to the Christian life in some ways have such a harder route than the people who don't care. They live a nice life. They have a great time. But we're called to something higher. They are too.
Sure.
They are too. And hopefully someday they will encounter that reality. But for us, for we who have encountered that reality, we can't pretend like it's not there.
A lot's expected.
A lot is expected. Because we've been given such a great gift. And we have to respond in order to live extraordinary lives.
All of these young professionals are examples of how God can work through all aspects of our lives. Our family lives, our careers, our social lives, and do amazing things. There are certain places that is very hard for the church to reach. We are the ones best positioned to reach those in our society. We are the representatives of the church in the world. In the workplace, in social gatherings, in our laws, in our entertainment, in the creation of products and services, in our treatment of workers, in our treatment of the outcast, the elderly, the oppressed, the poor, the sick, and all the unfortunate. We work in society, live in society, and interact with all walks of life on a day-to-day basis. We then have the ability to be, and are called to be, God's instruments of change in our society. We, as young professionals, have a unique opportunity and are best positioned to have a positive impact on our society. Although we may be advancing technologically and developing in our society, we are deteriorating spiritually. It is up to us to penetrate society in every part and impregnate it with moral seeds at all levels. Only with a solid foundation and with God will we have the properly formed consciences to go against the stream of society and make an impact in reversing its momentum. Only by pursuing this aim will we fully live life as we are meant to live it. How do we then go about carrying out this mission? We begin by turning to God in prayer, by allowing Him to work through us as His instruments, by inviting Him into our lives, our work, our families, our relationships, our activities, everything, and allow Him to direct us in fulfilling our roles. At World Youth Day, during the Jubilee year, the Pope communicated to approximately 3 million young people the answer to the question, how do we do it? He said that the key is to center our lives around the sacraments, namely the Eucharist. In the Eucharist, Christ is present and truly among us. We are to center our families, our relationships, our work, and our activities around Christ. He will work through us. We are to take the world from a culture of death across the threshold of hope to a culture of life as God's builders of hope. The Pope closed his message at World Youth Day with the powerful and inspiring words of St. Catherine of Siena, which is how this series will close as well. The saying is as follows, if you are what you can and should become, you will set the world ablaze. Thanks for watching Builders of Hope. And if you would like to email me or any of the guests, you can do so at buildersofhope.com. You can also access our website for resources and tools to help you in your pursuit of being a builder of hope. God bless.
Father John Horgan. Today on Faith Matters, I want to talk about the saints and your vocation and mine to sainthood, to holiness. For many years, I've studied the lives, the spirituality, the teachings of the saints. Each of the saints has a different way of honoring and reflecting Christ our Lord. Some of them changed the pages of history, but most of them were unknown outside their own small world, the people whose lives they touched each day. Like us, they struggled. They struggled to grow in faith and to grow in love. And like us, too, they sometimes failed. They sometimes fell. The saints are not more perfect. They don't have more grace than is given to us, but they do have more courage. Our Lord will give to you and to me every grace needed to fulfill our vocation to holiness. The motto of the saints is, "Now I begin again. Now I start fresh." That has to be your motto and mine. Every day the Lord calls us to holiness. He calls us to be His servants and His images, His likeness in the world. The world will only know the truth of God's love if it's visible in you and in me. So today, let's resolve anew to start afresh. Faith matters, grace is given, and love is supreme. May God bless you and give you the courage this day to hear your call to holiness.